Can there be love without discipline? I thank the song leader for the songs they have chosen related to the topic, and also especially the children's story. It's certainly a very good introduction of what we are going to look at. All of us are children, right? All of us, no exception. We are children of God. Sometimes maybe when we talk about the discipline, we are talking about young people, we are talking about kids. But all of us are still kids under construction as far as God is concerned. We become a child of God because of our relationship with Him by accepting Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us we become children of God. Because we are children of God, He loves us. So certainly, He will discipline us. From the scripture, especially from the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, talk about this particular subject. Thank you so much. There are a few scriptures I'd like us to look at just for the beginning. And this is taken from Proverbs. For the Lord corrects those He loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. Only a fool despises a parent's discipline. Whoever learns from correction is wise. I'd like us to turn to the scripture taken from Hebrews chapter 12, reading from verse 1, Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in a place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become wearied and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoken to you as his children? He said, my children, don't forget, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. Don't give up even when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves. He punishes each one as he accepts his child. As you endure his divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who is ever disciplined by his father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirit and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they know how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share His holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So take a new grip of your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a path, straight path for your feet, so that those who are weak and lame will not fall and become strong. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for these words that we have just read. We ask, O Lord, your Holy Spirit will come and apply these words in our heart and help us, O Lord, to change our ways as we are being disciplined by you in love. Help us, O Lord, to recognize your hands at work in our lives. Yes, Lord, many of us are going through different types of situation in our lives. Lord, most of the times we don't even understand why things happen in the way that it happened. But Lord, we pray as we come and wait upon you, speak to us and minister to each of our hearts now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A little bit background of this passage of scripture. It talks about, you know, through endurance we run the race. Now, what are some of the incentives that the Hebrews writer told us to? What incentives? Those who have gone before us and pleased God. Now, there are our incentives. They faithfully, you know, ran the race. Well, we need to follow their footsteps. And Jesus, who endured the cross, is an example for us. He didn't walk on the red carpet. He walked the way of the cross. And those of us who follow him, no exception. We will go through difficulties. We will go to trials. That's the way of the cross. And Jesus said, take up the cross and follow me. He has finished that race. And he guarantees us that those of us who keep step with him, we will finish the race too. Thirdly, he said, the future is good. Huh? Joy and glory. Waiting for all of us who faithfully walk with him. But this passage of scripture also talks about two circumstances in which to endure. Now, the word endurance and patience are two different words the Bible translates this. Endurance is normally referred to situations, and patience is normally to deal with people. Now, the Bible here talks about there are two types of situation we have to endure, we are called to endure. One situation is the hostilities that come from outside. We recognize that. All of us have gone through different type of situation. It's totally beyond our control. Forces from outside. But there's also another type of situation where it is from the inside. The discipline of the Father. That's a different type of thing. God loves us and he disciplines us. Well, that's the inside part that we need to endure. Here, how do we face up to these circumstances? There are two situations. It said, do not grow weary and faint-hearted. That's the first one. Do not underestimate the cost of enduring a sinful world. And then do not despise or do not despise the work of God in our life. I'd like us to look at it carefully. First of all, let us look at the word discipline. What is happening? Okay. The word discipline actually translated in our earlier English version is chastening. Chastening means to make pure, which is what the end purpose of God's work in us. So discipline, ultimate goal is to help us to live holy lives. That's the purpose of discipline. And then the word, there's another word translated in Greek is pediatrician, the pediatric. The Greek word comes from that. The whole training and education of children in their minds, morals, and body. So this word discipline involves teaching, training, correcting mistake, and bringing desire under the control of God. Now this is what the Bible talks about. If God disciplines us, you see, that's the whole purpose behind is to make us a holy people unto God. Holy people unto God. But somehow we have difficulty between discipline and punishment. Often we found out that at home, especially we guys who work very hard in the day and we go home and things don't do well in our office, we go home when things are not well, our kids are giving us trouble, we actually discipline our child, but most of the time it's not discipline but more punishment we are talking about. Yeah, therefore, Paul actually reminds us as father in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. He said, fathers, do not exacerbate, provoke, or anger your children. Instead, bring them up in the training or discipline and instruction of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, as all scriptures is God's breath and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Yeah, here Paul reminds us that we need to be very careful when we train our children. Are we actually disciplining them or just punishing them due to our own frustration? That's why we see a lot of children becoming more and more rebellious. Instead of respecting us, they are more fearful of us. I think there are two different, very different aspects of training our children. I'd like us to look at some of the differences between these two. The difference between discipline and punishment. Punishment is actually talk about wrath against sin. You've done wrong, you know, you're punished for it. You deserve it. As far as God is concerned, He works like a judge. Many of us fathers does the same. But when we talk about this discipline, we do it for the love of our children. A different, totally different attitude. God is not a judge, but is like a father. I think that makes a lot of difference as we deal with our children today. Do your children fear you? Or do your children are drawn to you because of your love for them? Punishment, actually the purpose is to inflict penalty for an offense. You have done this, okay, you deserve it, you know. That's what it is. When the purpose of discipline is to train for correction and for maturity. Punishment is a now. You just deal with the situation now because you have done this, you deserve this, and when you have done it, that's true. But however, when we discipline a child, when God disciplines us as His children, it's not just for now, but He has a future purpose in each of our lives. So that we become more holy, so that we become more and more like Him, so that we become grown up. We just become matured people. I think that's the goal of God the Father in your life and in my life. I said earlier that we are children under God's construction. I'm 73 years old, but God is still working in my own life. Disciplining me in many ways, you know, helping me to keep my way straight so that I can be like Him and be more holy unto Him. Now, what about our discipline for our children? When you teach your children, is it out of anger? You just blurt it out, you know? Or you think about the future. What you do today, how can you impact this child to walk closer with God and to be closer with you as parents? And punishment actually focuses on past deeds, something that had happened before. But somehow, when we discipline a child, we focus on the future, on correct acts. For example, you know, stealing is not the right thing. Lying is not the right thing. I just visited Houston with Steve Chai. Some of you know him very well. He was sharing a story in China. China, we have many young parents that we work with. The group that we work with, both of us work with, about 5,000 of them. Steve is very instrumental giving talks on parenting. He himself has four girls, and he has a school, an academy. They call it a faith academy. He is the principal, the wife is a daughter, and of two graduation, I was their speaker. Four children at this academy. Now, Steve actually have one experience that he shared with these young couples in China. They are all professionals, they are doctors, they are different type of professionals. He said, one time my daughter has been very naughty and cheated on some of the homework which she has been told not to do it. But this time, Steve called his daughter, the eldest daughter, Annabelle, some of you know her, into the bedroom and start talking to her. I said, do you know what is wrong, what you have done wrong? I said, yes. You know, you need to be punished for that. And he called the wife in, you know, and in his house he has a ruler, you know. Every time when children get wrong, he used that to whack them. So whenever he takes that ruler, the kids know what is coming, you know. But this time something is very different. Annabelle didn't expect that type of situation at all. What Steve did was that he lied on the bed and asked the wife, you know, you have done wrong, but I will take the punishment on your behalf. And the wife used the same stick that he used to whack the children, and he really whacked, not on Annabelle, but on Steve. Now, this time in his home over meals, I talk about that experience. And he told the wife, you know, you really hit me hard, you know, then. Well, I think that's the best way to take revenge on your husband, isn't it? Yeah. Well, the child actually cried, you know. The father actually suffered for him. Now, as far as Christian is concerned, you see, Jesus Christ actually have paid that penalty of sin for us. He take your punishment upon himself. So, Christian, when God loves us as his children, it's more so for the future or to correct our acts. This is not right, but God shows us a better way to do something. Now, we don't understand how God works in our life, but God's way is always the best way and always the right way. God don't make mistakes. So, I'm not sure what type of situation you are in. I'm not sure whether is God disciplining you at this time. If it is so, you know, how do you respond to his discipline today? So, well, when we talk about punishment, it talks about his hostility and frustration on the part of the parent, on the part of the person who is giving the punishment. We are angry most of the time, frustrated, don't know what to do, and we will just give what we can. But on the other hand, when we talk about discipline, it's painful, just like the children's story. God just used a prune, you know, a scissor to cut. But it's always done with love and concern on his part. And the end result is that it will bear much fruit. It become more fruitful in the life. So, punishment resulting in fear and guilt in the child. But somehow, when we lovingly discipline our children, the child will have a sense of security. Perhaps we need to take time and ponder over our ways in relating with our children. I'm very glad today all my family are here. My two daughters, three grandchildren, my son-in-law, except one in Australia. It's not easy to raise up children. We struggle along, you know. We continue to learn. Looking at myself, I have a lot of things in wanting as a father. I need to apologize to them when I was young. I hardly had time with them. God given me a second chance to with the grandchildren. I hope I can spend more time with them. I believe discipline starts with love, starts with spending time with our family and our children. I'm speaking to myself. I think we need to make time for our family. That's what is lacking in all of our lives today. May God continue to help us as we look at this issue. Now, the Bible talks about, you know, when we talk about discipline, it's actually, we are talking about son being trained. Or some translator use the word son training, you know, or sonship training. That's what it's all about when we talk about discipline. Usually, during that time, an educated slave actually helped to train the children. And the scripture also talks about the purpose to train the child is in all aspects of life. It's not just counting, mathematics, dancing, and all this. Now, today you look at the lives of our children, I'm afraid they don't have childhood life at all. I know many parents, you know, after school, they drive there. Mommy mostly are the drivers today, or maybe you have, okay, now you may have a full-time driver, and you take your lunch with you, and you say, hurry, hurry, you know, we need to go to the tuition class, you know, in half an hour's time. And then after that, you know, you have swimming, you have drawing, you have piano, you have violin. I think our life is packed with many things. But somehow, I wonder how many of us actually train not just the head, the hands, but what about training of the heart? Training of the attitude of our children to love God and to be like God. I've introduced to you the book Dr. Ao and his and Forrest Friends. I've been using with my four-year-old grandson. It's quite interesting. We are almost on the last quarter of this book. Every night he will want to read a story. And that book actually talks about values. I think this is what is missing in our educational system. This is what is missing in our home. I think everybody needs to have 8 A's, 10 A's, and so on. But somehow we have missed out on the values that we are inculcating in the lives of our children. I hope we pay attention on that. Huh? We actually let them choose whatever they want, or rather, we make the choice for them. But then when come to church, come to God, we always say, no, they make their own choice. It doesn't make sense to me sometimes, parents. I think we need to wake up from that, you know, especially on matters of relating to God. I hope we will be the one who make the decision, not our children making the decision. I hope and appeal to you, spend time reading the Word of God with your children, learning to pray together, talk to them about God together, lovingly, you know, educating them. You know, 2 months ago, or less than 2 months ago, my mother died at the age of 104. Well, the topic about death never stops this little boy, four-year-old boy. And some new concept comes to my mind when he said, you know, we put grandma in a treasure box. I never thought about that. And we are just sending him, you know, someday someone will discover that treasure again. Death from a four-year-old boy. Huh? Learn to talk to your children. You'll be surprised how much they can talk back to you, how much things they can discuss with you. I missed that out when my two girls were very young, too busy. No time, you know. But I hope that you make time for your children. Yeah, the purpose is not just one aspect, but all aspects of life. Life, responsible, moral citizen, businessman, athlete, father, leader, and thinker. So when we talk about discipline, the tutor in that situation actually trained this child to grow up in an all-rounded way. All-rounded way. It's very sad in the United States, as I traveled there just the last 2 weeks, you ask the young people what they want to be, you know. They want to be singer, they want to be footballer. Very few want to be scientists anymore, you know. As a result, the American academic actually going downhill, unfortunately. But I believe that we need to be training our children all-roundedly. So the slave was tasked to discipline the child to do whatever was needed to accomplish the tasks of the holistic education, or wholesome education, if you want to say. I come from a home that my dad's home, they have a compound situation in China. They actually employ a teacher to stay in that home. And my dad was under the tutorship of this teacher. When he was older, about 16 years old or so, my dad was sent to Shanghai to under somebody's business tutorship and then return home to work with the family. I think there's a lot of training is not done actually in the school, or send your children just to Sunday school. But I believe all of us as parents need to take the first step in educating our children, not only just loving them, but disciplining them in the way of the Lord. There are two wrong ways to respond to God's discipline. Often, sometimes when we are in trouble, we ask the question, why? I've learned that, you know, a lot of things don't have answer, actually. Just no answer. Why, you know, God do this? Why that, you know? But I learned to ask God, you know, where do I move from here? A situation is like that, you know. Where do I go from here? I'm thinking about the life of Joseph. Poor Joseph actually grew up, you know, being a favorite. Parents don't play favorite. Huh? Your children are in trouble. One of them will be in trouble. So by the brothers, rejected by the brothers. And, you know, betrayed by the boss wife. Forgotten by the jailer. If you ask why, you know, actually there's no answer. We don't see anything at all, huh? When we are going through discipline. Huh? Discipline is painful, the scripture says, isn't it, earlier? At that moment. Huh? But in the end, when Joseph, you know, landed up in the Pharaoh's palace, he realized the hands of God, you know. It's not what you're trying to hurt me, but God sent me ahead of you. God's hands is at work in our life. How do you take God training? Yeah, we say the hostility outside from the church, or now we are talking inside. Or what respond? He said, despise, do not despise God's discipline. Now, what's the meaning being you despise God's work in your life? Despise means to regard lightly, not seriously, do not value, to reject. It is respond of the hard-hearted that ignores God in trials and temptation. It is reflected in complaining, rebellion, criticism, callousness. That is not what we are to respond to God's discipline. So the scripture says, don't despise what God is doing in your life. In fact, take note of what God is trying to say to you. To do that, I think you need to have some what we call time with God. Quiet time, not just talking to God about your needs, you see. Learning and listening to God. Lord, you know, what are you trying to say to me in a situation like that? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Show me the way, Lord. Sometimes, under discipline, it's good to remain quiet and learn to listen. Not only listen to God, but listen to your spouse. Listen to your parents, children. I know, you know, when you are young, you know, you think your parents don't know anything. Don't we do that? I did that, you know. When I was a young fellow, I thought, you know, my parents are so old, they are 50 years difference from me, you know. They don't know, you know, what do they know? You know, the world has changed so much, you know. But when I grew up to be about 20 years old, you know, I recognize they know so much that I don't know. So don't despise your parents. They may not have gone to university like what you have done, you know. But I tell you, they know a lot. They have a lot of wisdom. So not only listen to God, but I plead with you. Listen to your parents, young people. Talk to them. Learn from them and follow their good examples. I think we need that today. Talk to your peers also. But the peers only see what you have seen most of the time. But your parents have gone many, many miles ahead of you. Learn from God. Learn from your parents. And learn from your teachers, elders of the church. So when we have needs, learn to trust God. Yeah, God we cannot see. But we can see leaders, pastors. Trust them. And talk to them. And ask them for direction. So the Bible said, when you despise God, you see, often you end up complaining, you know. I think this is what troubles me, come up with subjects like this, accountability and stuff like that. I've been very troubled by the church the last 2 years, to be frank with you. All my life as a pastor for 50 over years, I've never seen people say, I resign, you know, from church. Normally said, I want to leave church, transfer to somewhere else. But somehow this word came again and again. I am resigning from the church. I don't know where we learned that. Like they treat the church like a company. No, the church is not a company. The church is a home where all of us live. You know, every home has its own problem. We have our needs. Don't run away. You know what? Don't rebel. Criticize. Well, every home have the same problem, you see. You can go to another church, you face the same type of problem. But I plead with you, grow up. As God works in your life, learn to ask God, you see, where do you want me to go? If God wants you to stay, be obedient to stay, and work through. Now, this is especially true in your home. You know? Young people today, there are a lot of young people pick up their bags or no bags, they just walk out from their, out of their parents. Many young children. Parents, I hope we will learn to know the situation and help our children so that teach them how to respond rightly. But that's another type of response the scriptures say, despair. I have so much problem, you know. I'm sick, I'm not well, you know, I need to go to so many types of treatment. Or sometimes, you know, you're in a jam financially. There are people who have lost their job or make redundant for a year. You know, they couldn't get a job still. A tough situation. Right? Pastors, if you have no job for 3 months, you know, most likely we are in serious trouble. But many of you are professionals have been made redundant too, you know, due to bad times. But despair means, you know, means to be faint-hearted, to give up in difficulty, to give in to doubt and lies and unbelief, to question the goodness of God. Or we can say simply, you know, I give up. You know, what good it is, you know, to become a Christian. Non-Christian also have problem. We have problem. But God, where are you when I have problem? Well, that's what despair is all about sometimes, you know. You begin to doubt what God is doing in your life. These are two ways the scriptures say, you see, the way we respond to the discipline of God. But somehow God wants us to continue to trust Him, even though we don't see God at work outwardly. But I assure you, God has your very interest at heart. I thank God, I believe in a God who knows everything about me. From the time I was conceived to the time I see Him. Not only He knows me, but He has the power to do things that I cannot do. That's why I can rely on Him and call on Him, and He can change things in my life according to His purpose for His glory. And the most wonderful thing about the God that I believe is that He accompanies me everywhere, every day, every minute. He's everywhere. I urge you to learn to walk with God and to trust God, and not to be despair. My time is going out very fast. The next thing I want to look at, the purpose of God's discipline. There are four aspects, if I can sum it up very quickly. One of the aspects is that it's corrective in nature. To correct a wrong behavior or understanding, it exposes sins and character flaws and leads us to the right path. It's one of the purpose of discipline. Whatever it is, God wants you to lead you to the right path. Things have been wrong, this is not right, and God, through His words, to teaching like today, like that, you know, help you to go back to the right path. Secondly, is preventive in nature, to prevent us from falling into the sin, into sin, or more deeply into sin. God will hurt us physically to preserve our soul. God sometimes actually hurts you to get your attention. Pain is the best way to get our attention, isn't it? Sometimes when we drive our car, the dashboard in front of us, there's a red light flickering, isn't it? Sometimes we don't take note of it. That's a danger sign. Or sometimes our health, when you have pain, when you have a headache, you know, you just buy Panadol all the time, you know. It can be quite dangerous to your health. But take note, huh? What is God trying to say? Check properly, and find out the actual thing that is happening in your life. Don't keep on sinning. As God points up to you, the discipline intended to prevent you to repeat the same sin or to go deeper into it. The third one is retributive, used to punish our sin. Discipline does not remove the consequences of sin. God discipline is a sign of sonship and sonship training. I think of David. When David sinned against Bathsheba, God actually took the life of that baby born to that situation. Consequences is still there. Yes, God forgives us, but the sin, consequences of your sin, we still have to bear. There's no excuse for that. So the third thing, a fourth one, lastly, the purpose of God's discipline is used to educate us in the ways of God. We emptied our self-sufficiency and self-righteousness and learned to be humble. Our faith is strengthened. We are to see life from a heavenly perspective. We learn to be more useful in the service of God in our life. Yeah, discipline is to educate us. I urge you, this church have very carefully, elders, leaders, have worked very hard to start different types of training or teaching program on Sunday. I again plead with you, sign up one of these so that you can learn the ways of God through studying the Word of God together. Yeah, someone said this is actually a survey done by a person by the name of Sherry Campbell. He said, love and discipline equal to happy, functional children. I will just go through. There are some traits. He said, when we train our children with love and at the same time with discipline, he said, our children will have self-control and maturity. We have empathy, desire to feel good, responsible, love themselves, accountable, respect authority, and happy, secure children. I think when we truly go through ourselves, disciplined by God, we become more and more disciplined as a person. Instead of being fearful, we know who we are. May God continue to help us and to help us to grow in Him. Yeah, I'd like to end with a story, a real story. Some of you have heard a great missionary, a wife by the name Elizabeth Elliot. Elizabeth Elliot actually have some very difficult experiences in her own life. The first husband actually was killed by the Alka Indian spears when he first landed there. And then she remarried again to a person called Edison Leach. Unfortunately, he died of cancer. In one of the addresses that in an Urbana conference in England, Elizabeth actually shared a story that she encountered, an incident encounter in Scotland. One day, she was out in the area, open area, where farmers taking care of their sheep. And there was a shepherd and a sheepdog. And the shepherd and the sheepdog was driving those sheep into a ramp, up a ramp. And then on top of that ramp, there's no other place to go but a tank of water out there. And every sheep, actually, whether they like it or not, you know, they were forced to go into this tank. In actual fact, it's an antiseptic tank for all the rams to go through. You know. And rams are very smart too. And as soon as they get into the water, they try to get up as fast as possible. But the shepherd will use his long stick, you know, and force the ram, you know, back into that water again. And again until that ram, you know, is totally drenched with this antiseptic. So Elizabeth actually stood by and watched this situation and asked this shepherd's wife, do you think the sheep knows what is going on? And this shepherd wife said, you know, they have no clue at all what is going on. I think sometimes our life is like that, isn't it? I'm not sure what tank you are in now. Maybe a financial tank or a a relationship crisis thing. You try to get up, you know, you're fussing again and again, you know. And Elizabeth actually said, you know, there are many situations in my life, you know, I have no clue about what God is doing in my life. Perhaps you are sitting down here, right here, this morning. You have no clue what God is doing in your life. Maybe it's time to spend time with God to reflect about it. You need to come, not to be despair or to be discouraged, but ask God, Lord, what are you trying to tell me now? Speak to me. Help me. Instead of relying on your own strength, your own cleverness, I think it's time to come to God and say, Lord, you know, I've been running on my own steam in my own way. I confess to you, O Lord. I've been living independent of you. Help me, O Lord, that I can humble enough to come and allow you to speak to my heart and help me to turn back to you. Let us pray. God knows your situation. He knows your struggle. He knows your pain. Perhaps God is doing something wonderful in your life. When God disciplines us, it's never to punish you, but it's to bring you back closer to Him. Are you willing to get up from where you are? Like the prodigal son, you know. You don't need to spend time in that pigsty lifestyle anymore. Get up and come to the presence of God again. We are here, the elders, pastors are here. They will be, come out if you need us to pray for you. Unfortunately, what I've been talking about is about sons of God, children of God. Perhaps today many of you do not know God. You have not accepted God as your Father. Won't you open your heart this morning to receive Him as your Lord and Savior? Confess your sins before God and ask God, invite Him into your heart and make Him your Lord and Savior. Our Father, we want to thank you for your word this morning. We continue to pray that you will speak to us. Lord, give us the courage to be different, to allow you to come and make a difference in our life. Bless our family. Bless our church, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.